by Prairie Fire Communications. Opinions expressed do not necessarily represent those of staff and management of WRMN Radio.
Good morning and welcome to Freedom Rings. I am your host, Kenneth Chan. With me is my excellent producer, Mike.
Good morning. How's it going?
I'm doing fine, except I still have this, can't shake this cold or whatever it is.
Weak now. Tough to shake it once you got it.
It might be free time
before you're better.
I'm getting old and it's just things don't work too well anymore, you know?
Yeah, I know that.
So, I see St. Louis won a game over the weekend.
I was surprised they won one game, although I kind of thought they were going to win the first game. I don't think they're going to win anymore.
I mean, it really does appear that the American League is a little stronger.
Just a little bit, yeah.
If the Cubs can handle St. Louis, you know, you got to question the National League's entry into the World Series.
Of course.
So, anyway, let's move right on to the stupid and or outrageous regulation of the week. And I need my glasses for everything. All right. Well, this is Military Commissions Act of 2006, Bush just signed and Congress passed, including Democrats. This, folks, passage of this, is my opinion, has broken the last little thin shred of the Constitution. Was hanging just by that little thread, or chad, or whatever you want to call it. And it's completely gone now, folks. No checks and balances at all. The president, the executive branch, can just determine on its own who's an enemy combatant without any review by the passage of the fact. I mean, it may be unconstitutional. The current Supreme Court, I don't hold any... I'm not going to hold my breath. I'm finding it unconstitutional. But by... just an assertion by the executive branch, by the president, they can hold anybody in this country, any American citizen, as an enemy combatant. So any political foe, theoretically, just haul him to jail. No writ of habeas corpus. Right? So this could, you could hold them indefinitely. An American citizen. It's the final culmination of the police state in this country. The results remain to be seen, but it's all in place now, folks. And you conservative, so-called Republicans, conservative Republicans out there who support Bush, and I don't see how any upstanding, real, limited government conservative could ever support Bush. But I ask you, do you really want Hillary to have this kind of power? Do you really want Hillary to have this kind of power? Or anybody else, folks. Remember, power corrupts and absolute power corrupts. Absolutely. And the whole genius of what our founding fathers bestowed upon future generations in this country. Well, one of the geniuses was the separation of powers. Checks and balances of power. This act that the Republicans passed, the Democrats went along with, and Bush signed, completely takes away any kind of check and balance on the power of the federal government, of the federal executive branch, of the power of the president. This is completely in America. What are the boys in Iraq or anywhere else fighting for, folks? For the burgeoning police state? Are they fighting for the power of the executive branch to hold anybody they want just by declaring them, just by asserting that they're an enemy combatant? Is that what you folks really want out there? The American media is completely silent on this, except for one guy, Keith Olbermann on MSNBC. He's talking about it every day. Besides him, there is no, I don't hear anybody talking about it. And it's over, folks. The experiment is over. Unless something happens really fast. Now people say, well, the Democrats get in power, they can rescind. I don't think they're going to. You don't hear Hillary jumping up complaining about this act. You have a few Democrats complaining about it. No, because they understand power and they want it too. Just as the Republicans love power, so do the Democrats too. Maybe for slightly different purposes every once in a while. I'll say it again, power corrupts, and absolute power corrupts, absolutely. The American experiment is over, unless, well, I mean, even the Supreme Court declares it unconstitutional. The Bush administration just does what it damn well pleases anyway. But it's really over because we the people, collectively, have decided to do nothing. We've decided to sleep. We've decided as long as we're comfortable in our own jobs, occupations, lifestyle, then it doesn't matter. After all, if you have nothing to hide, what do you care what kind of power you give the executive branch? What do you care what kind of power you give the police state? It's all over, folks. Military Commissions Act of 2006. This also, by the way, another unbelievably unconstitutional measure, exempts the Bush administration from any past acts of torture. Violating the Geneva Convention. This act also says that, oh, parts of the Geneva Convention we don't have to follow. And this is what we want our boys, our military boys in harm's way to face up to then. Because if America condones torture, the rest of the world can condone torture too. So we want to subject our boys to more torture? Is that what you want? Is that what you conservative Republicans want, you neocons? Traitors. I would say, now, you folks who believe in this kind of power are the real traitors of this country. You're the real unpatriots. Non-patriots. It's really shameful that any American citizen would condone what has just been passed. That any American citizen wouldn't be up in arms about what has passed. We're going to have a guest today, my friend Mike Nolan, who's running for state senate in a little bit. So I know I started opened up a can of worms. So if you all want to comment on this, we'll just comment on it real quick, and then we'll go to our guest. We have Dan on the line.
Yep, we have Dan.
Hi, Dan.
Hey, everyone. Yeah, well, you're right. Power corrupts. That's so. Well, you said it. I'm having a hard time getting it out. Question for you on a more local level. I know the Libertarians didn't get a chance to get anybody on the ballot this year.
We're going to have a write-in candidate.
Oh, you are?
Yes.
Okay, because I was going to ask you.
Mike McCoy, I believe her name is. Pardon me?
Okay, I hadn't heard that before because, now that I know, I guess my question to you would be mute. I was going to say, who would you be supporting? But since Libertarians are going to have a write-in.
Well, there's no way in the world I would ever support, even if the Libertarians had no candidates, there's no way in the world I would ever support either Topeka or Blagojevich.
Well, that was my contention that, I know the Green Party has a candidate, and I heard the U.S. Constitution Party was doing a write-in, but I hadn't heard the Libertarians.
Yeah, at least the Constitution might have been a possibility. The Green Party although I support everybody, if they believe in big government, but they don't like the Republicans, vote for the Greens. I have no problem with that. But they're still socialists.
Right.
They're still socialists.
That's what I was looking forward to.
But we need to break up the monopoly of the Republicrat system.
Oh, absolutely. It's going to take something. It's going to take something bigger than the Libertarians or the Constitution or the Greens. Maybe a moderate party or something. I don't know. But you're right. Something has to be done. But we do have some consolation that, if I remember right, during the Revolution, there's just about 30% of the people in the United States, actually in the colonies at the time, were in favor of a revolution. So
that's right.
It doesn't take a majority to make
a
change.
No, it takes a tireless, courageous, principled, strong minority fighting for principle.
As long as you don't do it publicly so you become an enemy combatant.
Yeah, well, yeah. I'll see you there at Gitmo, Dan.
Something like that. All right. Hey, have a good one.
Thanks for calling. Okay, one more call. Mike, how you doing?
Hey, Ken, I'm doing all right. I just want to tell you, take a deep breath, relax, and back away from the cliff. You sound a little bit upset there this morning, and I understand that, but I do have some good news for you. two things real quick. Aaron Russo has the movie America: Freedom to Fascism.
Great
movie. And apparently he's going to make that available on DVD for $20. So you can, everybody that's interested, you can get a copy of it, get your friends or other like-minded people together, sit them down and have them watch it, and, you know, spread the word. The other good news is I believe I sent you an email.
Yeah, I saw it, yes.
Okay, we have some good news. Apparently there is some hope, you know, slim as it may be. But hey, a ray of light in a dark room is still a ray of light.
No, that's great. That's great. This individual stopped a lien by the IRS by going into state court and challenging the lien, and the IRS didn't show up. And the judge knocked the lien off, correct?
Right, because she entered some motions or whatever to show cause, and if they had jurisdiction and all this other stuff, that, you know, it'd be legally required if you're going to take somebody's property or put a lien on them. And you should show probable cause that you have a legal right to be doing what you're doing, but, you know, apparently the IRS doesn't think that they're required to, you know, meet the rule of law, but I just find it real interesting that, you know, once again, the IRS gets its butt kicked, and, you know, ABC, NBC, CBS, CNN, and the list goes on, not even a hiccup.
No, of course not.
You know, it doesn't even show up on a 28th page of a 27-page paper.
No, as in they're not reporting the allegation that Dennis Hastert has taken like $500,000, I believe it's $500,000 in cash from Turkish heroin dealers. That's an assertion, an allegation. I don't know if it's true or not, but I know that.
I know that.
Let me finish, because this is kind of a big something I'm throwing out that I want to make sure I'm qualifying. There was a person that was just interviewed by Vanity Fair that's asserting this, and then Vanity Fair ran an article and they didn't include that. That's a very serious charge, and I think the major media should at least address that issue.
Well, Ken, I'm stunned and shocked if you believe we have politicians that would take money from corrupt people. I mean, Governor Blago knows nothing about his best friend.
All right. Mike, I got to run. I appreciate
your
call.
Ken. All right.
This is Freedom Rings. I'm Kenneth John. The phone number here is 847-931-1410. We're going to talk to Mike Nolan right after a few messages. Are you politically homeless? Are you tired of being taxed and regulated by the Democrats and regulated and taxed by the Republicans? Would you like to pursue your own dreams without the interference of government? Well then, America's most successful upcoming party, the Libertarian Party, is your political home. The Fox Valley Libertarian Party is your local libertarian group working hard to restore the freedoms our country once held dear. Yes, you can fight City Hall and win. We did. Find out how. With your help, we will make the 21st century the century of liberty for all. We hold monthly meetings at Baroni's Pizza, 3 Lakewood Plaza, one block west of Route 25 off of Bessinger Drive in Carpentersville on the last Wednesday of every month at 7 o'clock p.m. Call 847-426-1974 for more information. That's 847-426-1974. Eternal vigilance is the price of liberty.
You get what you pay for. Efficient, high-quality service from Perfect Painting and Decorating. In business under the same name since 1975, Perfect Painting and Decorating supplies superior service for both interior and exterior painting, decorative finishing, wallpapering, plastering, drywall and taping, and wood refinishing. For your decorating needs, Perfect Painting and Decorating can custom tint right on the job site. Imagine no interruptions, thorough preparation, professional tradesmen, top-of-the-line materials, meticulous cleanup. Get the job done right the first time. It may cost a bit more for quality, but it's worth it. For a free estimate, call Perfect Painting and Decorating at 847-426-1974. That's 847-426-1974. You'll be glad you did.
Hello, friends. This is Kenneth John, and Freedom Rings needs your help. I would like to get back to a two-hour show, but that costs money. You can help by contributing to the Heartland Institute, Illinois' own libertarian think tank, with a tax-deductible contribution. The Heartland Institute is an independent, non-profit research organization in operation for 17 years. Joseph Bass,
Heartland's president, is a frequent guest on this program. 90% of what you contribute to Heartland comes back to Freedom Ring to pay for this ad. By contributing $25 or more, you will receive monthly publications including School Reform News, Environment and Climate News, and The Heartlander, the Heartland Institute's monthly newsletter. So please call 312-377-4000 to contribute and be sure to mention Freedom Ring. That's 312-377-4000. Or you can contribute by credit card on the internet by going to Heartland's website at heartland.org. Again, remember to mention Freedom Ring, and thank you for your support. Okay, we are back with Freedom Rings. I'd like to introduce to the program a Democrat, and nonetheless a really good friend, and who was my attorney in the CETO case. Mike Nolan, who's running for state senate. How are you doing, Mike?
Just fine, Ken. Good to see you again.
Excuse me. I'm not in the best of health right now, but we'll get through this.
Something's going around.
So, you're running for state senate in what district?
I am the 22nd district. That's the Elgin, East Dundee, Carpentersville area here to the west. It also takes into account Streamwood, Hanover Park, the parts of Schaumburg, and Hoffman Estates.
Yeah. Okay, and why are you running for state senate?
Well, we need to put government back to work for the people. Okay, I think that elected officials have an obligation to focus on the needs of the people, and I just don't see that happening here in this area or at the state level, and so that's why I'm in it.
So you say work for the people and to meet the needs. What, and be more specific, what kind of needs is the government supposed to provide for people?
I thought you'd never ask there, Ken, but healthcare, education, keeping jobs here in the district, I think are very important. We've got to make sure that our educational needs are met. We rely far too heavily, I think, on property tax as a means of funding education, and the state needs to step up in that
regard. And with our income tax?
Well, we have a tax swap. We need to talk about...
What's to prevent local governments from increasing the property taxes again?
We, the voters. You keep a close eye on your local officials, and you have a more direct control of that. And
that's worked real well to date, Mike.
I'm sorry?
That's worked really well to date, the voters keeping the politicians accountable.
Oh, I think it has. Okay. When you look at how much we spend on education here in the state of Illinois, we rank 48th or 49th in the country. So dedicating dollars to education has been a real problem.
Do you really think there's a translation there to a student achievement and spending dollars? The studies I've seen have showed absolutely no correlation between spending on students and the quality of education.
That is questionable. I think what we need to do is we need to make sure that there's accountability along the way. We need to make sure that the standards that we're setting are fixed standards. We're not moving the ball on either teachers or students. And that we have a system in place that's going to stand the test of time and be able to gauge how effective we are at putting more resources at education. But I will say this, when you've got such a disparity in spending in education here in the state of Illinois, and our kids here in our district here in U46 and 300 are at a distinct disadvantage when competing for positions in institutions of higher learning, we have an obligation to make a change, and I aim to do that.
But if there's no study that has established any positive correlation between student spending and spending per student and student achievement, why even go through the trouble of equalizing that when most experts agree that's not the main factor that brings about quality education. I really don't understand that, Mike. What you really want to do is you want to socialize education even more, so that everybody contributes to the state and everybody pays equal share for equal amounts of money, and to my mind, probably more money and more money all the time. We keep on throwing more money. The United States spends more money on their students than anywhere country in the world, and we have nothing to show for it.
Well, now, Ken, as you know from our relationship together, both in handling your case and handling my being here on the show, your words are not necessarily my words. Okay,
I know that.
And I don't necessarily agree that we just keep throwing more and more money at education and it has absolutely no result. I do believe that just throwing more money at the situation is not the only answer. I agree with you wholeheartedly on that. And I do believe that we need to provide more systematic change in the class with these dollars, any dollars that we dedicate to
education. What kind of change?
Well, the kind of change that is going to allow us to be able to track improvement over the long term. Now, let me just say this, that my position has always been that we need to get more teachers. The bottom line is more teachers in the classroom so we can reduce class size. Now, there is a correlation. There can be no denying that there is a correlation between more direct interaction between an educator and a student. That's an absolute. And unfortunately, it's going to take more money to hire better teachers, more teachers, to get them in the classroom, to keep schools open instead of closing schools. That's where we're heading in the absolute wrong direction. Now, you know, education is not the only issue here. We also have healthcare, which is a major concern here in the state of Illinois, access to healthcare and jobs and job creation related to our healthcare costs. And that's something that we need to look to as well.
Well, you mentioned that we need to get higher quality teachers, and I have evidently spent more money to get higher quality teachers. It seems to me, Mike, with all due respect, and I love you a lot, man, but somebody's positions, I just can't count this. The teachers these days are, for 9 months a year, they're, a lot of them are retiring with over six figures of income.
That's a real
problem.
And
they're getting a pension, 80% of what they retire at for the last 3 years of their salary.
And
it seems to me they're doing wonderfully well, while I, as a small businessman, have a hard time just making ends meet. I can't set myself up with a retirement system like that, and I resent having to pay for it, to be honest with you, as a taxpayer.
And that's one of the reasons why the Democratic leadership led the way in putting the caps on retirement benefits for educators. In other words, last year they put a cap where educators are capped out at 6% increase in the last, I believe, 3 years of their serving as an educator. Now, this golden parachute that's been provided certain educators over time has been a real concern, and I certainly don't countenance that either. So what I'm suggesting is that we need to get more teachers, maybe first, second-year teachers coming into the district, filling these positions that are void currently, filling the gap that exists. When you've got 35 and 40 kids sitting in a classroom, that's not serving anybody's best interest. Now, we took classes.
I guess we could read the public school system pretty much broke.
Financially
broken.
Well, you can't just leave it.
No. What I would suggest to do is get the government out of it. Return to the power of the parent.
Yeah. Well, you know, this is where we have perhaps a philosophical difference. I believe that there is an important role for government, not that government is the only answer. I do believe in limited government. We've had these discussions before. But, you have to make a decision with respect to education. Education is such a foundational component to a healthy economy and a healthy society that we have to provide for the education of our young people. Now, you're playing devil's advocate, and I see that smile on your face, and that's
well,
fine.
Not necessarily,
but you know what?
you've
got to be honest with the people. You can't just simply say, well, we're just going to, we're going to get rid of government and the private sector is going to be able to educate our kids. If that were the case, the only kids that would ever get into college would be wealthy kids.
That's absolutely true.
No, it's not. Yeah.
No, it's not. The Americans are the most charitable people in the world, Mike. Most charitable people in the world, and there are all sorts of systems in place now, and would be in place if we weaned ourselves away from government control of education.
private funding of education, you could start out with tuition tax credit.
Then we just simply depend on the good graces of the schoolmaster parsing out grants.
Well, you're depending on the good graces of the taxpayer now, and it's not working.
Well, that's why I'm telling you, we need training.
We need more.
No, we don't just need more. I think
education is so important that it's so important, as you say. That's why I don't want government to have anything to do with it at all.
Oh, gosh. Well,
so you want to move on?
We can move on. But, you know, the bottom line here is, look, here in U46 and 300, we have chronic overcrowding here in our classrooms. Now, that's not the only issue. The other issue, I think more to the point here, is property tax relief. We've got people that are living here on fixed and limited incomes, and I dare say there must be some libertarians out there that are thankful for the fact that we have Social Security, that we have Medicare, Medicaid.
I doubt that.
I've talked to a few of them when I've walked over the door. I know that they're out there, and they know that
they're not
a
libertarian to say they're thankful for Social Security and Medicare.
They don't belong to your branch of the Libertarian Party, but they're up there, I'm telling you.
Medicare.
And the thing is, they are hurting from a property tax standpoint, and I'm going to let's leave this issue in perspective.
Make sure that
we're reducing property taxes so people that have lived in their homes for the last 50, 60 years in the communities of Elgin, Carpentersville, Streamwood don't get priced out of their homes.
That's Libertarians would agree we should eliminate property taxes completely and go to user fees. To me, that's the only moral system of government, is if you want a service, you pay for it. If you don't want a service, you don't pay for it. I don't believe in socialism. Libertarians don't believe in socialism. But you mentioned Medicare, and maybe we can move into health care a little bit, since you mentioned Medicare, that libertarians would be happy if they have Medicare. Again, from the facts that I've read about, Mike, right now, in order to pay for senior citizens to pay for supplemental health care, to pay over and above what is provided by Medicare, the real cost of that supplemental insurance policy higher in real terms than health care insurance coverage was before Medicare started. Medicare has been the biggest flop, well, Social Security and Medicare, the two biggest flops of government of all time. Why should we be paying even more now just for supplemental health compared to what we paid for insurance anyway before Medicare started? So to me, that labels it a complete colossal failure. And why you'd want more government, now you're implying to me you want more government involved in health care, which is just going to increase the cost even more and more and more.
Oh, I disagree. Actually, what I'm asking for, rather than to create a new and expansive program down in Springfield, what I'd like to do is just simply enforce a law that was passed last year. Well, we put caps on medical malpractice awards. We got tort reform. The insurance companies promised basically to reduce the rates that they're charging doctors for medical malpractice insurance. I'd like to see us hold them to that promise. You know, promises made need to be promises kept. And, you know, you shouldn't have to have government oversight to make sure that that happens. The private sector, at least according to your theory, would be able to work that out all by itself. But unfortunately, it's not. The insurance companies are not reducing the rates, and that's leading to the problem of having doctors leave. Which, you know, the basic laws of supply and demand, Ken, you know that if there are fewer doctors, those fewer doctors are going to charge more, okay?
Because would you be in favor of opening the system up to health care so that alternative health providers don't have to get a license from the state?
Say that again.
Okay. Well, what you suggested to me is that there are a few top doctors.
Uh-huh.
Essentially, in my opinion, the AMA has a monopoly on health care, a virtual monopoly, not total, but a virtual monopoly on health care. And
well,
that's restrict the AMA restricts the supply of doctors. And what I'm suggesting to you is if we take away these licensure laws by the state of every state in the union, that license medical doctors and keeps other alternative health protected practitioners, well, it makes it a lot more difficult for them to practice. I'd say that's one way you could lower healthcare costs is by increasing supply of healthcare providers by taking away the licensing laws that are controlled by the AMA.
Well, I'm certainly not going to undo the safeguards that we have in place that are going to allow for making sure that our doctors are well qualified to serve as physicians. First of all, I think we need to clarify something here. The American Medical Association does not set licensure here in the state of Illinois. okay, state of Illinois oversees the licensing of doctors within the state.
It's a cozy, I would suggest it's a cozy fascist-style, corporate fascist-style relationship. Which controls which, the government or the AMA, I don't know.
Well, I'm open.
I think I would suggest that the state does the bidding of the AMA on this.
I'm certainly open to being educated on your view with respect to the relationship between the AMA and maybe perhaps state licensing agencies, but with respect to the medical profession. But I realize that there is much that we can do, even in the private sector. For example, reducing the amount of paperwork that all of our doctors' offices have to help generate. You know, they're kind of unwilling participants in a real paper push, if you will, with respect to all the many forms that people have to fill out. We could do, I'm glad we agree on this. I know we agree on more than just this, Ken. But, moving to a paperless medical profession or medical industry so that doctors and nurses and people that work in offices can have information with respect and taking into account the safeguards necessary to protect privacy, but have information right at their fingertips that is necessary to provide health care, and not have doctors necessarily...
Well, the forms, whether they're done electronically or they're done by real paper, the point is that the bureaucracy, through all their regulations, has required all this paperwork.
Right. We need to change that.
Well,
I'm
suggesting take away the regulations, and I think you're saying... Huh. Well, we need the safeguards, as if adults, Americans, don't have the ability to decide for themselves what's safe for them and what is not safe for them.
Mm-hmm. That's not true. I'm not.
Well, then why do we need government? Why do we need government to do the regulating? That's my point, Mike. If there's a demand for some product or service, then some company will supply that need. So if there needs to be a rating system of doctors, a rating system of healthcare providers or whatever, and I'm sure that even exists today anyway,
mm-hmm.
but if with the lack of government regulation, the market would step in and provide that informational service and let smart adult Americans decide for themselves what kind of healthcare choice they want.
You know what? You and I, we need to have our own show together, I think, okay, so we can just talk about this and kind of let it rip. I spent 8 years as a Navy corpsman. I came out of the Navy and finished my college education and went to business school and law school. And I got to tell you, and was in the reserves the entire time. And I've had a good look at the medical profession. It has to be said here, the medical profession largely polices itself. It's not government. It's not government that's actually policing our medical profession. It is the doctors themselves that are overseeing
the AMA,
their application of proper procedures, proper SOPs, the standards of procedures, so on and so forth, with respect to medical care. And it's not necessarily the government that's overseeing that. That needs to be known. Your audience needs to know that. Because
it's a fascist, what I'm suggesting.
Well, it may be, but you know what? It's not the government, it's fascist.
If government got rid of the licensing procedures and allowed others into the healthcare field, as we had before the turn of the century, then there would be real alternatives, and you wouldn't have one group just policing itself. The reason they police themselves is because government restricts the supply of others getting into the field.
Well, I would say this, that as far as government does involve itself in the monitoring of the medical profession, we need to be open to alternative methods of providing health care that are safe, that are practical, and that are effective at meeting the needs of
And who people. Determines? I guess my question is, who determines what's safe? Would you rather trust your life with a bureaucrat? Or for the market organization that if there's any whiff of corruption or fraud, would be out of business tomorrow.
Well, let me just say that this is one of the wonderful things about being a Democrat, I suppose, is that what we try to do is we try to move to a consensus, try to find doctors and nurses, in this instance that we're talking about, and other medical professionals, the people that are seeking to participate and sit at the table, okay, and be and have a say in how health care is provided, some of the people that you're identifying, have them come in and have them provide us this information so that we can make rational decisions with respect to legislation that's going to be passed, and pass legislation that might open the door to these alternative methods. You know what? We need to be open to that. I have no quarrel with that.
All right. We're talking with...
Excuse me.
We're talking with Mike Nolan, running for state senate, Democrat for state senate. And every Democrat I've ever known, Mike, they all want to spend more money on health care. Oh, they want socialized health care. They don't want individuals to have the right to choose.
Oh, no, that's not true.
You might be the only one.
You know, that's right. Choice is an important component.
All right. The phone number is 847-931-1410. That's 931-1410. Do you have any questions, comments, observations for Mike? Please give us a call. 847-931-1410. We will be back after a few messages.
We reduce children to their lowest common denominator. 57% of us are functionally illiterate.
For us, excellence is a thing of the past.
We killed the teachers and students at Columbine.
We are all trained to follow orders. Good.
We have learned to be tolerant of all people, except whites, Christians, and males.
27% of us are put on drugs.
The rest of us take the illegal ones.
Two-thirds of us believe that from each according to his ability to each according to his need is part of the preamble to the U.S. Constitution.
7 out of 10 of us don't know either of the senators in our state.
We just placed 19th out of 21 countries on math scores, ahead of the Ivory Coast and Sri Lanka.
We elected Bill Clinton as president.
And re-elected him.
And 9 out of 10 of us are products of the public school.
This message paid for by the Illinois Indoctrinators Association.
Ever think that you should be getting more out of your computer? Maybe you need a go-to tech guy. A go-to tech guy is somebody who knows computers inside and out and can help you with yours. John Spazieri is a real go-to tech guy. John Spazieri is a 20-year tech veteran who can help you get more out of your computer. Need software installed and configured? Call John. Want to learn word processing or Excel spreadsheets? Call John. John Spazieri comes to your home, works with you one-on-one on your machine, and shows you step-by-step how to do things you've always wanted to do with your computer. Want to upgrade your computer? Call John. Need to build a wireless network? Call John. Call John Spazieri at area code 630-858-6933. That's 630-858-6933. John Spazieri. Make him your go-to tech guy. I consider trial by jury as the only anchor yet imagined by man by which a government can be held to the principles of its constitution. So said Thomas Jefferson. What does this mean? Nothing less than that a juror has more power in a particular case than a judge, congressman, or president, and can judge the law. A juror has the right and power to nullify unjust law by voting not guilty, contrary to the jury instructions that many judges routinely give that jurors must apply the law as given by the judge. This is a very important check on the power of oppressive government. In the past, jury nullification has asserted its historical importance concerning fugitive slave laws of the 1850s, prohibition in the 1920s, and draft cases in the 1960s. Oppressive gun laws, tax laws, and drug laws are other instances where the people through a jury said no to government. For more information, call the Illinois Fully Informed Jury Association at 847-426-1974. That's 847-426-1974.
All right, we are back with Freedom Rank, talking with my friend Mike Nolan, whom we have major philosophical disagreements.
So he says.
but a great guy. He's a great guy. All right, and let's go right to the phones and to see what everybody else has to say. Wendell, you're on the air.
Hello. First of all, it's good you're talking about medical because, Ken, it seems you need to go see a doctor. That's how it started with me. You need to go and see.
I'm not a smoker.
Make sure your lungs are okay.
Well, they'll probably kill me though. I haven't gone to the doctor in 34 years.
You've got something, and you need to have it checked by something other than one of your alternative witch doctors. Nolan, you're running for state representative, correct?
No, sir, I'm running for state senate in the 22nd district.
State senate,
yes.
Okay. How many legislative districts do we have in Illinois?
We have 59 legislative districts that are split into two representative districts each.
And how many senatorial districts?
No, 59. They're called legislative districts.
Representative would be double that.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Then you have that many. Who's in control of the Senate and the House in Illinois right now?
Well, currently, by a relatively narrow margin, the Democrats are in control.
Okay, and if this election returns Democrats into the majority, then some of what you've talked about is possible to, you would have to persuade your fellow majority members, though, to go along with your programs, right?
Yes, but the very, I think, one of the more positive aspects of this race with respect to my being in the majority town of Springfield is that this is really considered a downstate district. And I'd have an opportunity to work with both Democrats and Republicans that are like-minded. And if we happen to elect any Libertarians along the way, we might be working with them as well. And independents, because I know that we do have one independent in the legislature, in the Senate. And, yeah, the answer is...
All the things that you're offering everybody, and I like a lot of it. I believe that government is our answer, and that government is it's of us, and we, the people, have a right to have our representatives there to vote our conscience as well as their conscience. And but every time I hear politicians offering promises of what they're going to do, they never temper the reality with the fact that it's only if they can persuade a majority of their brethren to go along with.
Well, first of all, let me just say that I'm heartened by the knowledge that there are folks out there here in the listening audience that do agree with my side of some of these opinions here. And by the way, I know that Ken does share some of these. He won't admit it, but he does. But
don't put words in my mouth. Try not to.
Okay, no, but let me just say that I'm making no promises here. I've never made any promises along the way except to get up early in the morning, work my hardest from the time the sun gets up. I'll be up before the dawn, and I will no doubt be going to bed after dark sets. So, and I'll be putting in 110, 115, 200% every day for you.
All right. So you swear an oath to uphold the Constitution of Illinois and the United States?
Indeed, I do. Indeed, I do.
So you would then be supportive of the our Glorious Leaders Commissions Act that was just passed?
Let's be clear here. That's more of a federal issue.
Yes, but you are a state representative of the people of the state, and you would then be a leader. And if you swore an oath to uphold the Constitution of both Illinois and the federal state, then you are in support of our great leader and what he's done to protect us.
Well, let me just say that, as a good citizen, I recognize the fact that our president is the commander-in-chief, and I respect that. I'm sure that along the way, presidents, as well-intentioned as they may have been, have advocated laws that have not always been found to be constitutional. And I would ask you to bear with me and to have patience and to allow me to adhere to the Constitution as it has been time-tested.
Okay, I'm
all right, Wendell, we got a, we got a whole bank of calls.
I can't go see a doctor.
Yeah, okay.
Thank you very much for your call, Wendell. Soon.
All right, Dan. Hi, Dan.
I'll try to make this one quick. The amount of money we spend on health insurance as a nation, I'm spending over $300 a month just for basic coverage. What would happen if we were to eliminate all insurance companies with health care, and we could put the money we're putting into insurance into our health care, which I would think, you know, we hear these incidents where people are spending $1,000 a month just in their prescriptions. If we didn't have insurance and people couldn't afford it, wouldn't that immediately drop the price of a lot of this stuff?
Well, Dan, is it... Let me just say that, first of all, I think it's important for us to recognize that our Medicaid and Medicare systems, with all it does have some faults, there's no doubt about it, okay? But there are very many people that benefit from it. We operate...
I know, but
I'm going to answer something here real quick. But they operate at about 3 or 4% overhead. Our private insurance industry, as we now know it, operates... and healthcare system operates at about a 30 or 40%, between 30 and 40% overhead. So I ask you, is there a better way? And I think, you know, I'm hoping that the response would be, yeah, there is. There's got to be a better way.
Okay, Jen, I want to move on. Thanks for your call.
No problem.
Okay, Chris, how you doing?
Oh, good. How you doing, guys? I just had a couple comments about some things Mike was talking about, education, and a couple questions. Mike mentioned that Illinois ranks 48th or 49th in spending, and that's just a common blurb that the pro-taxers throw out. It needs clarification. Where Illinois ranks 48th or 49th is in the state's share of education funding. In total education funding, Illinois ranks somewhere between 10th and 12th. We spend tons of money on education here. So just to say we're 48th or 49th tends to be a little bit misleading. As far as class size goes, the research on that is controversial at best. In general, you'll see that at the lower grades, you know, fetus through second or third, there is some evidence that class size does make a difference. But overwhelmingly, the bigger difference is teacher quality, which is something that Mike talked about. I think Mike also mentioned that, you know, we need more money for more quality teachers, which is, it doesn't really make much sense because teachers don't get paid for quality. They get paid for two things. They get paid for having birthdays, and they get paid for going to classes. That's all they get paid for. They don't get paid for how good a job they do. And I would much rather have my kids in a class of 40 other kids with a great teacher than in a class of 10 kids with a crummy teacher. And last comment before I get to my question, the tax swap as it was proposed, which was it was a number of different bills, most famously House Bill 750, the increase in income tax, both business and personal, was ironclad, guaranteed. The property tax relief, there was no promise at all. There's nothing to stop school districts from running referendums the next day to get back all the property tax money. So it's a tax hike. It's not a tax swap. My first question for Mike is, have any of the teacher unions contributed to your campaign?
The answer to the last question is yes. However, at the same time, and I want to say that most of your observations I tend to agree with. But one of the things that we don't agree with is the idea of the property tax relief. I'm not going to vote for a bill that doesn't also offer property tax relief. Now, it's important to understand that the tax swap, and that's all it is a tax swap. It is not a tax increase. It's a property tax relief bill, from my perspective. Also, too, it's a bill that's going to bring dollars back to this district. It's going to be a net plus for us to the tune of $109 million. $50 million in tax relief coming from the state government through a rebate system. $59 million, as I understand it, in general state aid to help fund our schools, to help keep these schools open. Your comments and admonitions regarding the quality of teachers is well taken. We have to make sure that we have good teachers providing this leadership. We're going to hire, we're going to make sure that that money goes directly into the classroom. I don't want to see it necessarily going to administration or to the bureaucracy. I want to see it going into the classroom so that we achieve the result that we're seeking here, which is a reduction in class size, helping to raise the quality of education, and in the process offer property tax relief and improve property tax values here in the area. It is a win-win proposition, and I'm going to support it.
We might disagree there.
I'm sorry. I'm going to have to leave it at that because we have to break.
That's fine. Thanks.
Thanks for your call. We'll be back after a few messages.
You get what you pay for. Efficient, high-quality service from Perfect Painting and Decorating. In business under the same name since 1975, Perfect Painting and Decorating supplies superior service for both interior and exterior painting, decorative finishing, wallpapering, plastering, drywall and taping, and wood refinishing. For your decorating needs, Perfect Painting and Decorating can custom tint right on the job site. Imagine no interruption, thorough preparation, professional tradesmen, top-of-the-line materials, meticulous cleanup. Get the job done right the first time. It may cost a bit more for quality, but it's worth it. For a free estimate, call Perfect Painting and Decorating at 847-426-1974. That's 847-426-1974. You'll be glad you did.
Hello, friends. This is Kenneth John, and Freedom Rings need your help. I would like to get back to a two-hour show, but that costs money. You can help by contributing to the Heartland Institute, Illinois' own libertarian think tank, with a tax-deductible contribution. The Heartland Institute is an independent, nonprofit research organization in operation for 17 years. Joseph Bass, Heartland's president, is a frequent guest on this program. 90% of what you contribute to Heartland comes back to Freedom Rings to pay for this ad. By contributing $25 or more, you will receive monthly publications including School Reform News, Environment and Climate News, and The Heartlander, the Heartland Institute's monthly newsletter. So please call 312-377-4000 to contribute and be sure to mention Freedom Rings. That's 312-377-4000. Or you can contribute by credit card on the internet by going to Heartland's website at heartland.org. Again, remember to mention Freedom Rings, and thank you for your support.
Are you politically homeless? Are you tired of being taxed and regulated by the Democrats and regulated and taxed by the Republicans? Would you like to pursue your own dreams without the interference of government? Well then, America's most successful upcoming party, the Libertarian Party, is your political home. The Fox Valley Libertarian Party is your local libertarian group working hard to restore the freedoms our country once held dear. Yes, you can fight City Hall and win. We did. Find out how. With your help, we will make the 21st century the century of liberty for all. We hold monthly meetings at Baroni's Pizza, 3 Lakewood Plaza, one block west of Route 25 off of Bessinger Drive in Carpentersville on the last Wednesday of every month at 7 o'clock p.m. Call 847-426-1974 for more information. That's 847-426-1974. Eternal vigilance is the price of liberty. I consider trial by jury as the only anchor yet imagined by man by which a government can be held to the principles of its constitution. So said Thomas Jefferson. What does this mean? Nothing less than that a juror has more power in a particular case than a judge, congressman, or president, and can judge the law. A juror has the right and power to nullify unjust law by voting not guilty, contrary to the jury instructions that many judges routinely give that jurors must apply the law as given by the judge. This is a very important check on the power of oppressive government. In the past, jury nullification has asserted its historical importance concerning fugitive slave laws of the 1850s, prohibition in the 1920s, and draft cases in the 1960s. Oppressive gun laws, tax laws, and drug laws are other instances where the people through a jury said no to government.
For more information, call the Illinois Fully Informed Jury Association at 847-426-1974. That's 847-426-1974.
Okay, we are back with Mike. Real quickly, if people want to get in your campaign, how can they do that?
Well, thanks, Ken. Our campaign office is at 17 North Grove. That's the old Lodge.com Cafe, if people remember that. Our telephone number is area code 847-717-4604. Again, that's area code 847-717-4604. Website is just simply www.noland.org.
Very good, Mike. Thanks for being on the show.
Thank you, Ken. My pleasure.
This is from Daniel Webster. The contest for ages has been to rescue liberty from the grasp of executive power.
The preceding paid program sponsored by Prairie Fire Communications.